Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. This episode is brought to you by Body Armor Zero Sugar. The brand new zero sugar sports drink from our friends at Body Armor provides real hydration with no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. And whether you're looking to stay hydrated or recovering from a long weekend, Body Armor Zero Sugar has got you covered with great tasting flavors like fruit punch and lemon lime. Available in stores nationwide, head on over to Body Armor Store on Amazon and get yours today. This episode is brought to you by Body Armor Zero Sugar. The brand new zero sugar sports drink from our friends at Body Armor provides real hydration with no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. And whether you're looking to stay hydrated or recovering from a long weekend, Body Armor Zero Sugar has got you covered with great tasting flavors like fruit punch and lemon lime. Available in stores nationwide, head on over to Body Armor Store on Amazon and get yours today. On today's Part of My Take, we have Miami Heat player guard Duncan Robinson. Great interview with him.
Eastern Conference champion.
Yeah.
Bubble champ.
And also D3 runner-up, NBA runner-up.
D1 runner-up.
Billy actually asked that question because he's an asshole. We have that. We have some cleanup on the divisional round. Patrick Mahomes, hot seat, cool throne. The Mets GM sent 62 unsolicited text messages. We have it all. It's great. Wednesday show and guys on chicks.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget. Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable.
Let's go. Hey!
Hey! Now in the street there is violence, and not a lot of work to be done. No place to hang out or washing, and then I can't.
Welcome to Part of My Take, presented by the Cash App. Go download it right now. Use code Barstool. You get $10 for free, $10 to ASPCA. Today is Wednesday, January 20th. Happy Marcus Mariota Day.
That is the holiday that we all know, that we all celebrate. I guess like a month ago.
Well, we created a holiday that we don't even know why we created it.
I think I know why. I think I remember. It was like when Marcus Mariota was playing on Thursday Night Football and he played well.
No. So
no?
Nope. We're going to go back. We're going to go to week 12.
I have no recollection,
yeah,
by
for the
way.
Record, Jake, right before we started recording, Jake goes, and remember, it's Marcus Mariota.
This
today.
Is the problem with Jake. He is, it's actually a good thing, good problem to have. But I would say we're not really good preppers. We're kind of a fly by the seat of our pants guys. Jake is now the de facto Part of My Take historian. So when we say shit like, "Hey Jake, Marcus Mariota Day, January 20th," he actually remembers when
you know what it
no
is.
No chance
he,
I remember.
He holds future us accountable, which mm-hmm. I don't like. I mean, we're just saying things all the time that we'll take care of in a couple months. And Jake is like, "Hey, remember that deadline you set for yourself? I'd rather just forget about it."
Okay, so tell us.
So here's
play
the
backstory.
It was week 12 of the NFL season. The Raiders lost to the Falcons 43-6.
Oh,
and Nathan Peterman came into the game, mm-hmm. went 3-5, and I think one of you said, "Let's see Marcus Mariota." Play.
Okay, let's see. Let's hear it.
If you're Derek Carr, it's got to be so much worse to get benched for Nathan Peterman than for Marcus Mariota, right?
Correct.
I would much rather see Mariota come in off the sidelines and be like, "You're going with this guy."
We need to put that in.
Forgot he did too.
Put that in like a Google Calendar, Jake.
Yeah.
January 17th.
For
remember Marcus Mariota.
Yeah, just see if he's alive.
It's my sister's birthday.
There we go.
Oh, happy
shout
birthday!
Out. Shout out. Remember, Maddie. Remember Marcus Mariota on that day. Okay. Is that a Tuesday or Wednesday?
What is it?
It well, is I don't know a why Sunday.
Only,
we'll be here.
I don't know why I only gave two options.
Yeah. It's a Sunday. Sunday, we'll be here.
So, actually, sorry, no offense to your sister, Hank, but let's move it back.
Yep.
Let's go to the following Wednesday. It seems like, or Tuesday. Tuesday. It seems like a Tuesday type of for the, a Wednesday show.
Wednesday's inauguration day. Tuesday is the 19th.
Yeah, we're really going to have a lot to talk
I'm
about.
I'm going
to
be busy on that one. Yeah.
I'm just looking at my Apple calendar and I had
are you,
a dot.
Are you saying the election is official?
We're not talking about
okay.
it.
Okay. All right. Well,
I'm just saying.
Who said that?
Pops
we're not
up,
not
you know how the holidays pop up on your you're Apple calendar? Yourself that's what came up.
He didn't say who was getting inaugurated.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Jake's
all right. So put it in. That's Marcus
Mariota. Big Joe Okay.
Okay. Remember,
do you
Marcus
get inaugurated
Mariota.
If you win?
You get re-inaugurated.
Okay, well.
All right, so there we go. You know what today
damn,
is?
People listen to this?
And
like, that was.
We sound like fucking idiots.
That was the dumbest thing I've ever listened to, and I just, like, it happened exactly how I
three
didn't,
options so, for a fake holiday.
Yeah, we didn't were, remember, we were but talking, it made no sense.
We were talking about a Falcons-Chargers game. And then Hank
Raiders.
Starts Falcons yeah. Raiders game, and Hank starts reminding us about his sister's birthday, and people are like, "This is compelling stuff."
Yes,
shout out to Maddie.
Shout out to Maddie. Happy birthday,
Marcus
Maddie.
Marcus Mariota Day.
Today is Marcus Mariota Day. It's also Pardon Day.
Yes.
So we're recording this before the pardons come out. I'm excited. I'm hoping Tiger King gets off.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a limo on standby
Silk Road,
set
dude.
To go.
Silk Road.
Pardon Dr. Heat. Pardon Greg Williams.
Let's do some Marcus Mariota facts. I don't even know. I think he's so boring he doesn't have facts. I just looked Marcus Mariota facts, and it says Marcus Mariota was 6 feet 4 inches. So Marcus Mariota is dead. So R.I.P. Marcus Mariota. What's your fact?
He's from Hawaii.
There we go. Mm,
Papa bless.
October 30th, 1993 was his birthday. That's actually not too far off from when we decided to make Marcus Mariota
Day. That's Halloween almost.
One month exactly. We did November 30th.
There we go.
October 30th.
The stars align. This is 11 Titanic facts about Marcus Mariota's magical NFL debut.
Ooh, he won the Combine King Award.
Ooh.
After running a 4.48 40-yard dash in high school.
Okay. He's
the
wow.
Combine King.
Wow, Marcus Mariota, the Combine King. Do you have anything for us, Jake? In the first half of his debut, he was 8-for-8 for 162 yards and 2 touchdowns. That's his first game ever. He must have turned out to be pretty good. Whoops. What were you going to say, Jake?
I'm still looking.
Yeah, there's no. Okay. He's so boring. Okay, well, happy Marcus Mariota Day. That's official. It is officially in the calendar. Marcus Mariota Day every year, January. It's remember Marcus.
Alliteration,
Mariota
his first and last name.
Boom. Mm. There we go. You had to look that up?
No, it was just my last emergency fact.
All right. So, happy Marcus Mariota Day to everyone. Hopefully, everyone has a great Marcus Mariota Day. Let's talk some other stuff. How about the Mets general manager getting fired for 62 text messages to a female reporter, including a dick pic? I think was the dick pic part of the 62, or was it
the
after?
Dick pic was, I think, included at the tail end of the 62. Then she answered after the dick pic, and then he sent like three more
being
saying,
like,
I'm sorry.
But
then
did
four
you like
more,
it?
Yeah, being like, you didn't get back to me about whether or not
pic.
You liked the dick pic.
Yes.
So I've got two thoughts on this. First of all, on top of everything else, obviously he's a scumbag and he got fired, deserves to be fired. First of all, after that, he's also a terrible negotiator.
Mm.
What do they teach you in negotiating school? Do they teach you to just like look really thirsty and keep calling people when they won't call you back?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, sales, you're supposed to be persistent, right? I guess this also is an indictment then on the Indians because they just traded Lindor to the Mets. So,
yeah,
so this guy executed the trade.
They did business. They took his blood money.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, well, do you disavow? Because he was on the Cubs when he
well,
did
he's the Mets GM.
He was on the Cubs.
He was
do you disavow?
He was the Mets GM.
Sir.
I do disavow. Okay. He was the Mets GM. I think we should all just remember that he's the Mets GM.
He is the Mets GM.
So, or was the Mets GM.
My second big takeaway is this is an all-time guy who wears Oakley sunglasses move.
Yeah.
This is a big-time Oakley. Like, if you look at the picture that they have, he's wearing the square Oakleys. And you can tell a lot about a guy by the sunglasses he wears.
Yeah.
If you wear Costa sunglasses, you go deep-sea fishing twice a year. You probably have a DUI in Florida. If you wear Shady Rays, you're cool. You're just cool. You're the Blake of the world.
That's true.
And then if you're an Oakley guy, you probably send dick pics during child support meetings.
Yes, I would say so.
Yeah.
Well, this wasn't during a child support meeting.
But you don't know that.
Well,
it might have been.
I mean, probably the worst excuse of all time when he said those were actually just stock images, because who doesn't have stock images of random erect penises in their phone?
Yeah.
So he went with the stock. Like, that is also a sign, like, hey, man, Don't go with your first defense, because your first defense is going to be terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, it was stock images. My biggest takeaway from this is we need, like, a school that, like, everyone, you know, people go to college or trade school or whatever. We need, like, a one-month seminar where people can just learn to be normal human beings. Because this was, when I read this story and I saw that he had 62 unanswered text messages, throw out just the dick pic, which is way out of bounds. An unsolicited dick pic is way out of bounds to begin with. But 62 text messages over, like, a couple months with no reply. Dude, you need to learn, like, just a tiny bit of shame.
Yeah, it's
because crazy. That's the craziest. It made me, like, cringe and have shivers down my spine. I can't. If I text someone over a two-day span and text them three times and they don't respond, I'm like, well, fuck me, I'll kill myself.
Either they're dead or you've got the wrong number.
Right.
Here's a solution. Every guy out there should have a number in their phone that they label as, let's just call it Kathleen from the bar.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a number that goes nowhere. And you just fire off all your dick pics to that number. Just out into space.
Dude, and he was doing the winky face, and he was doing...
Yeah, like, that's also embarrassing, to have your GM shooting off emojis.
Like, question mark. This guy, maybe it's because, I don't know, like, he's you know, achieved great things, a GM, so he probably thinks like...
Ooh. Well, he's a GM of the Mets.
With GM of the Mets, but he was like, oh, my shit doesn't stink. I'm the GM of the Mets.
It's just
I'm a smart guy. No, you're not. You're actually a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Because 62... How do you even go back from that, by the way?
You don't.
Is that picture's
you
there?
Say
and
like,
then the I gotta find
this. So here's the thing. They've got the blackout picture there. So he knows that if he keeps fucking up, they're liable to drop the uncensored version.
Mm. You mean the stock image?
The stock image, yeah. The Getty, the picture of via Getty's penis.
How about thinking that will be a good way to get out of this? Be like, yeah, dude, who doesn't have stock images? So he went, why won't you answer me, beautiful? Am I annoying you? If you have to ask, am I annoying you? You're annoying.
Answer's yes. I was going to say
question mark.
I'm
going to
say 62 text messages is pre-crime, but it's not. It's just crime.
Yeah. So that was the big news of Monday night going into Tuesday. And credit to Steve Cohen, who I was reading his Twitter. I'm a little jealous of Mets fans' relationship with Steve Cohen.
It's
because
nice, yeah.
It is like he had a tweet being like, what do you guys want new at Citi Field? And people were just responding like Glenny Balls was in there being like, we need more beer. And like, you know what I mean? And he was responding to people and it was like, I don't know. There's something about Steve Cohen. Maybe it will. Maybe the shine will wear off eventually. But I have no affinity towards the Mets whatsoever. But there's something very sweet about the Mets fans' relationship. They really just got out of like the worst relationship with the Wilpons, and now they have cool new dad who will tweet them back and be like, "Hey guys, you want to do a trade? Let's crowdsource a trade.
Yeah.
Who do you guys want on the team?" And the people are like, hey, we want Trevor Bauer. He's like, all right, I'll go get Trevor Bauer.
And it's very much a double-edged sword because once things start to go bad, he's going to have a different entire outlook on Twitter. But it does go to show you that no matter how many billions of dollars you get in your life, the one thing that you're always going to want is to own a sports team and then to be cool online.
Yes. And this guy, so Steve Cohen, he did deal with it correctly in that he fired him pretty much instantly in the morning. But he had a moment last night where everyone's like, this guy tweets all the time. Where's his tweet? So that also is a double-edged sword where if you're the tweet guy, you can't be like, well, he's got no way to get in touch. Like, they'll do a press conference. Like, no, he goes directly to the fans, which is cool until there's some issue. And it's like, well, you got to actually address it.
He's going to have to hire like a heavy, a dude that gives the bad news to the fan base so that he can continue to have this like cool Uncle Steve persona. He should just have Frank the Tank be his press secretary for any bad news that needs to be delivered.
Yes.
I would love that.
I don't know. I'm jealous of the Steve Cohen relationship that Mets fans have with him.
Also, Darren Revelle, please tell me how much advertising Oakley got out of that deal, having that plastered everywhere.
Like the miners that came out of the...
Exactly, like the miners, yeah. Also, could you imagine... I can't imagine the GM from any other team doing this, and I don't know them personally, but this just feels like a problem that would only happen with the Mets.
Right.
Billy Bean would be like...
And in fact,
Billy Bean
it didn't even happen with the Mets. Right. It did happen with the Cubs, but it's the Mets GM. Yeah. Let's just be honest. It's the Mets GM.
I could see...
But the fact that they hired him and then it happened.
A smart GM like Billy Bean gets in trouble for sending pictures of his balls. Yeah. It's like, balls are underrated. They're undervalued.
The Cubs, like Theo, it might actually be now his greatest move ever was leaving the Cubs right before everything just fell apart.
Yeah.
Because John Lester is now a Washington National. Kyle Schwarber, like, Yu Darvish gets traded. This
yeah,
comes out.
The baby
like,
Cubs.
All this happens, and it's like, hey, Theo might have seen something. So I went and looked. Glennie's response to Steve Cohen was, Steve, I mean, how about that? Like, he's lit. Steve Cohen, the owner of the Mets, is letting Glennie Balls call him by his first name. He says, Steve, can we add more all-inclusive tickets, including alcohol, around the stadium, like in the M&M suite seats? Thanks. I'll hang up and listen. Glennie just wants to pay one price for all his food and beer, okay? Yeah. Is that so hard?
It shouldn't be. Just can we have a buffet instead of like the handicap railings that take you down?
Oh my god, it's so fucking good. All right, so yes, Jared Porter, scumbag, very cringeworthy. 62 on, just guys. If Mr. you're sending more than three, you she probably doesn't want to talk to you anymore. Okay, 3 over 3 days. That's a good sign to stop texting.
Yeah, and I think as far as dick pics go, just never send them. Just don't unless you have a notarized form. That's been signed, dated, stamped, that says, I would like to see your penis on my cell phone.
Well, it's also like a scared straight. Like, if you were, I think Mark Cuban maybe has told us, like, if you send a dick pic out, you're sending it to the whole internet, because eventually it will.
Oh, yeah, it's going to come out.
Well, unless it's a stock image, again.
I'm going to just Google stock image penis.
Yeah, he should have been smarter and done, like, Getty Images over it.
Yeah.
his dick having a nice penis. Cup of coffee. I do feel bad for the reporter. I mean, this is essentially like we hear these stories like, hey, this is what it's like to be a woman in sports. You're like, oh, fuck, 62 fucking text messages? That's crazy and scary and weird.
So maybe it was a stock because it's blurred out. You can't see it. Maybe it is the diagram that you see in health class. It's this one. The one you see in health class that's just the penis hanging over the balls.
This one had I mean, his shitty shower in it, which makes it even worse.
Who hasn't sent this to a girl?
Oh, my God.
Nothing gets a girl going like seeing the health class.
He also sent one in his jeans, which is that's a wiener move. And I mean that not as a wiener. Like, I mean that Anthony Wiener.
Yes,
he did that move.
He hasn't been in the news recently.
He would send pictures, I think, like when he was hanging out with his kids, of his penis in his underwear.
Mm-hmm. So, it's not a dick pic.
Yeah. All right. Divisional round, just to clean up. So Patrick Mahomes apparently doesn't have a concussion, which we talked about on Sunday, but it's now coming out. He has a pinched nerve.
Yeah, it's his neck. So it was just a neck issue that caused the entire left side of his body. He basically had a stroke over the span of a quarter second, is what they're saying, where a neck just shut down one side of his body entirely, and now he's fine. So he is in the concussion protocol.
Oh, he is, because but he doesn't need to be.
Once you get put in the protocol, there's no getting out unless you pass the test at the end of the week.
Yeah.
So I'm ready to say that I think that he will pass the concussion protocol test at the end of the week. I think we're not paying enough attention to his foot injury. He's got turf toe.
He's
turf toe
play through
is the most serious injury in all of football.
So he's going to play through both, but I do agree that like the toe would – it's going to make it harder for him to be 100% Patrick Mahomes. And a lot of people got mad at me because I said the Bills could blow out the Chiefs. That was I guess I should have just phrased it the lame way and been like, it's a coin flip game.
Yeah.
Because that's how I see it. I was more saying that like a Chiefs could blow out the Bills. I'm saying a blowout wouldn't surprise me either way. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that it just wouldn't. The Bills – people think that the Bills blowing out the Chiefs would be some shocking – result, but to me it wouldn't be, because I think both these teams are so fucking good that if either shows up with their A-plus game, they will blow out the opponent.
Yeah, the Bills.
That's really what the point
the Bills
was.
Have had like 3 games this year where if they play like those Bills, they win this game.
Right.
The Chiefs have had, how many perfect games have the Chiefs had this year?
They haven't like, covered in nine straight games.
Yeah, but also the lines are like 16.5
no,
for some of them.
Not really. Not so like that crazy.
The Chiefs, I can remember them having at least 2 A-plus games. Bills, I'm remembering like 3 A-plus games.
Yeah, but even the Chiefs A-plus games, like the Bucks, they had an A-plus half, remember?
Yeah.
And then they kind of let the Bucks back
they
in.
They get cute.
So, I don't know. It's going to be – I'm very excited for the championship Sunday. I think we're going to have some good guests on Friday to break it down who maybe has been in a few championship Sundays. All going
to
be awesome.
What was the bet that we had, Hank? It was if Patrick Mahomes doesn't play, it had nothing to do with a head injury, just if he didn't play, right?
Yep.
Okay, so if he doesn't play because of the toe, I still win the bet. I still get to capture Normie for a week and make him fat.
Yeah, I think that's true.
I'm going to feed him so much bad stuff.
He's going to play.
Just all butter.
He's going to play.
And on the last day, I'm going to give him all the stuff that gives him diarrhea right before I give him back to you.
He's going to play.
Yeah, probably. You're right. He's going
to
play.
Yeah, he's going to play. I mean, Colin Cowherd tried to say that the NFL should postpone the game if Patrick Mahomes can't play, which was Cowherd just being like, hey, I want to go viral for a bad opinion, mm-hmm. which he does once a month.
Yeah, Colin imagines that everybody that listens to his show is the vice president of marketing or like works in finance yes. and understands that the dollar bills mean everything C-suite. To Colin. And he's yeah. like, yeah, these C-suite guys in between their shareholder conference calls are just tuning into the herd real quick, mm-hmm. get some takes, and then put me on mute again.
What else we got? Oh, we did get a little bit. I was watching the Bucks Nets game on Monday night. Yeah. We got a little taste of who gets the last shot. So we had a two last shot situation. So they were down, I think it was by two, or no, they're down by one. Harden took the last shot with 40 seconds left and then missed, got the rebound, passed it to Kevin Durant, who then okay. drained the last shot. And then they were up two with 30 seconds left. So it's like, who's taking the last dagger shot? That was Durant.
Okay, and then Kyrie might be coming back tonight. So yeah. what I think, this is like a next level conversation of who gets the last shot. I think we're in kind of who's the odd man out territory.
Ooh.
The odd man out. So I think we've got two Batmans in Harden and Durant, and then Kyrie is kind of going to end up being Robin mm-hmm. on the side. So those two are definitely going to click up. I'll put it this way. I think it's like Blink 182. I think that Kevin Durant and James Harden are Mark and Travis, and then obviously Kyrie's Tom.
Mm.
And then he's off somewhere studying aliens.
Yep.
And then he's going to get pushed off to the side eventually.
Yep. Yep.
But yeah, I'm very excited to have the odd man out conversation.
Yes. I mean, this is, again, where the fans have won. All right, let's do Hot Seat, Cool Throw, and then we got Duncan Robinson, a little more NBA talk.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Okay, hot seat, cool throne, Hank.
My hot seat is your goat, Big Cat.
My goatee?
Mm. Nope.
Oh.
Your goat.
My goat.
Djokovic.
The Joker.
Oh, yeah. Listen, yeah. This guy, I watched one Wimbledon match goat. 3 years ago, Joker. And I've gotten attached to this fucking scumbag.
You guys
who's
may
an
remember.
Idiot.
You guys may remember.
But he's better than Federer.
A few months ago, he hosted his own tennis event in like the peak of COVID.
Yeah.
Where there was like no regulations. It turned out to be a super spreader event. It basically like they traced
Wait,
it back.
It was better than spreader?
They traced it back to like spreading coronaviruses all over the Balkans.
Okay.
From this one event.
Uh-huh.
Then, so the Australian Open, Australia has COVID under control. They have a bunch of, like, precautions, regulations, and stuff. Djokovic sent in basically his own list of requests and suggestions on how they can actually do a better job with COVID.
Oh, and so he's helping.
He's trying to help. And
he's trying to help.
They shot it down immediately. We're like,
Got
you're
it.
A fucking idiot.
So
like,
he's trying
why
to help.
Why would we
though.
Ever take advice from the guy who hosted his own tennis event
because he knows what not to do because he already spread it everywhere.
His suggestions were to basically like lessen the restrictions, like make mm-hmm. it easier, like
yep.
basically just he was selfish. It was a bunch of selfish requests.
I agree with Big Cat a little bit on this, because if you're going to plan a music festival, you would hire Billy McFarland
mm-hmm.
because he's made all the mistakes,
right?
He knows all the potholes, he knows all the danger areas. So yeah, like bring Djokovic in there, have him be the blind
dude,
spot guy.
Have you ever watched Catch Me If You Can?
Boom.
They
Frank
fucking
Abagnale, yeah.
hire that dude. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Djokovic is the perfect guy to hire. He's also let's just spin it this way, Hank. We talk about how much we love SEC coaches, how funny they are. He just sounds like an SEC coach, herd immunity.
Yeah,
he's just like, hey, let's all get it, and then we don't get it
he
again.
Sounds
which
like
is proven to be wrong.
If you bred Mike Leach with Trevor Bauer,
maybe a little Dabo in him.
Yeah,
yeah. Why not?
I will say there was a nice video of him. He's quarantining in his hotel room, going on the balcony and watching some kids play. On the street.
Yeah. And he could probably whoop those kids if he needed
wow.
to.
So that's
thanks, Jake.
You know what? Some things are bigger than sports.
Yeah.
I don't even like tennis.
Some things.
That's amazing.
Fuck, man. But he is better than Federer.
So he went out there and he looked at kids from his hotel room balcony.
Yeah.
Seems what a touching
chill.
Moment.
It's very nice. He was like giving them some
applause. Okay, you know what? 6 months from now.
Not during the point.
Though. Novak Djokovic Day.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't get silent during the play.
He was probably spitting on the kids, being like, here, actually, kids, no, Jake, you need this to be stronger.
Jake, make this.
Well, that's always fun in the balcony.
A year later.
See where your spit lands.
Yeah.
A year later, it's Marcus Mariota / Novak Djokovic.
Yeah, add him to the list.
Day.
Yes.
Both of them on January 19th, 2022.
I mean, we found out very quickly that Marcus Mariota is the most boring person to ever have a day for. So,
all right, so we'll get they're sharing their day.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll have
it. Today is still just Mariota.
Today, 2021.
Do we want it to be on a Wednesday? Because of no recording day.
No, you know what? Yeah, you're right. Shift Marcus Mariota day.
January 18th.
Oh, yeah, January 18th.
When, what about doing it on Hank's sister's birthday?
It's always
that's a Monday.
It's always the.
It's also MLK day. There's already
Yeah, okay.
It's always
Martin
the
Luther King Jr. / Novak Djokovic.
Yeah, the closest Tuesday to January 18th.
Okay, January 18th, 2022, Marcus Mariota day / Novak Djokovic day.
Perfect. / day after Hank's sister's birthday.
And my cool throne is the Peaky Fucking Blinders.
Yeah.
They started filming season 5 today, and now I watched the Peaky Blinders during quarantine, and before I watched it, Big Cat was like, I can't spoil it because I don't remember what happens. I watched it during quarantine, and now that statement rings true because, like, I don't really even remember exactly what happens at the end of the seasons. But they started filming season 5, and then the director, like, creator, whatever, said that there's going to be a feature film that comes out to end the entire thing, which is, that's hype. Like, that's an exciting,
yes.
It's better than a season, like, it's just a nice,
it's like Entourage.
Yeah.
The problem with that is they're going to not have the subtitles in the movie theater. That's going to be a big pain in the ass.
Well, are we ever going back to movie theaters? Like, can we all agree that you
I
just...
I like going to movie theaters.
I agree.
It's a good activity.
I like,
it's a good, it's a
I
good
agree.
Like, let's go to the movies.
I feel like,
it's a good...
I feel like I ran a marathon.
Totally
like,
agree.
I worked out.
I don't want movie theaters to go away, but I'm saying... Give me the option to be able to buy every single movie at home right away.
But then,
like, that's just let me have that option.
Because then I focus better on a movie in the movie theaters the first time than I do at home.
Yeah,
no matter what,
you're forced to watch it.
Yeah,
you're not looking at your phone. You're not getting
Maybe
up going to pee
subtitles.
As much. Yeah,
I do subtitles.
They need to have subtitle theaters for Peaky Blinders movie for sure.
But yeah, I'm hyped.
Okay,
Is that it, Hank?
Yeah.
Hot Seat Cool Thrones.
That's it? Just minimum, doing the minimum guy. My hot seat is being able to talk about the Houston Texans on television.
Mm.
So Dan Orlovsky was talking about the Texans GM mess, just the entire just shit show that is the front office right now in Houston. And he said that it's worse than is being reported, and it's worse than it's so bad I can't say it on television.
What's worse than being reported? They murdered Deshaun Watson.
He said,
and
it's
his
so
body's
bad,
rotting in the stadium.
It's so bad I can't talk about it on television. So that takes my brain to the point where, like, there's murders.
Yep.
They're taking phone calls from Deshaun Watson and just picking up the phone and saying the N-word and hanging up on him.
It's
like,
crazy.
How bad could it get that you can't say it on television? And he hasn't even notes-apped it yet.
Well, then we know that it could get worse.
It could always get worse.
Because if it's notes-app, then it's the worst it could possibly be, like Doug Peterson's playing Nate Sudfeld for a few drives.
Yeah, but what could
the worst of the worst.
What are they doing in that office? Is it satanic orgies?
They are hijacked by a dude who just, they're going to prey on it. And I feel like there's a part of them, and there's actually a part of me, like maybe 1%. I'm not a God guy, but like if they pray hard enough, could they win a Super Bowl?
Yeah, I think so.
Like, right? Like, it's... I don't know.
But then you have to think that every other franchise is probably praying, too.
Not as hard as they are.
So you got
other franchises are actually trying to get better on the football field. They're saying, let's forget the football field. Let's just pray the fuck out of this thing.
Right now, if you're Joel Osteen, you need to go to the Houston Texans stadium right now because you could probably get hired.
Yeah.
If you walk in the door with enough confidence, which I know you have, fly your little private jet across town, land it on the 50-yard line, step off, and declare yourself the head coach of the Houston Texans, and say, God delivered me a message, I bet you that Jack Easterby would say, that's our guy.
Right.
God has delivered us.
Like, that's the thing with prayer, though. Like, I don't think it's going to work. I don't think that them praying will replace keeping Deshaun Watson and making sound roster decisions. But...
What about thoughts and
it
prayers?
Will. I don't know. They're trying something different. I don't know. Thinking outside the box.
Yeah. I need to know what's so bad that Dan Orlovsky can't say it on television.
Oh, man. They should let Deshaun Watson be the coach.
Yeah, why not? Fuck it.
Yeah.
My cool throne is sea shanties.
Wait, one more thought about this. How about the fact that, like, Bill O'Brien has to be so happy that he left and everyone's like, Bill O'Brien's the worst. What a shit show. And it got way worse.
Turns out Bill was keeping the team together.
He was the only, he might have been bad, but man, do you regret getting rid of him.
Well, you know why? Because of Bill O'Brien, at least you had a guy you could point at and say, that's the problem.
Mm-hmm. That's the bad guy. Who's the bad guy?
You don't have anyone you can point at,
right.
Then you're like, what the fuck? What's going on here?
Right.
They should just make up like an interim general manager and have everybody be mad at that guy.
Yes.
That doesn't even exist, but the fact that there's nobody to blame makes it way worse.
Yep.
My cool throne is sea shanties.
Oh yeah,
sea shanties are back in a big way. Have you seen and heard the sea shanties?
I don't understand what a sea shanty is.
It's like
SpongeBob.
It's like the devil's singing a lullaby.
Oh yeah, yeah. I saw Rones. That was great. The Irish.
No,
rap.
That was a battle rap.
No. He did the Irish rap sea shanty.
Oh, sea shanties are like yo ho ho in a bottle of rum.
Yeah, he did that.
That type of thing.
Yeah, I saw the Packer fan too that made me want to puke.
They've gone very viral in the last couple weeks. People are getting really into sea shanties. I feel like we should do a sea shanty for Billy. We should write a sea shanty because we did that one for Hank.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't you doing Imagine Dragons?
I'm doing an Imagine Dragons one, but now sea shanties are just so hot.
Okay, we'll do that.
Can you combine?
I hope you die. And if you don't, don't come back. Ever again.
I disavow that. I miss Billy. I truly do miss Billy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do. It's good to have somebody that you can point at and blame. He's our Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, someone dropped a bunch of heavy boxes in the studio and they're just going to sit here until he comes back.
I miss
back,
Billy
so.
Too. I do.
I miss Billy as well.
I fucking miss that guy. Because you know what? He at least would have been like, hey, want to order dinner?
Yeah.
I would have remembered to order dinner.
He kept us on schedule for dinners.
And
he would sometimes, if the studio got too crowded with beer, he'd be like, hey guys, can I clean this up and take a few of these cases home for you guys? That was kind of nice.
All right. My hot seat is the NCAA. So they screwed up the schedule. Nah, screw up is probably the wrong word. They changed the schedule for the basketball tournament, the March Madness. And I know everyone's going to say, well, at least there's going to be March Madness this year. Agreed. But they have eliminated the first Thursday. I think this is just for this year, right, Jake? This isn't.
Yeah. No, remember, right. They didn't eliminate it. They're still the first four.
No, they eliminated it because Thursday is the greatest day in the sports calendar when you're like, we have 4 days of this.
It is the best day ever.
So they've changed it. It now goes Friday. So Thursday is the first four. Friday, Saturday, first round. Sunday, Monday, round two. So we're going to be watching. I can't get into this.
It's tough. Monday is not a day to be tuning into True TV.
It's a recovery day.
It is. Can you imagine how sad that's going
to
be?
I got a Cuck Gravel on the True TV. He always does like waking up to seeing this on True TV.
Yeah.
Like some like crime show or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like Castle,
usually. Yeah. So, and then I do actually like that they're the Sweet 16 and Elite 8. Sweet 16 is Saturday, Sunday, Elite 8, Monday, Tuesday. I'm okay with that because Elite 8 is, it's weird when you have the Elite 8 on that Saturday and Sunday and you're like, wait. There's only two games?
Yeah.
Like, where's the rest of my basketball? Whereas now, you'll work all day Monday, and then you get basketball at the end of the day. But the fucking, the second round being on a Monday is just, my brain cannot understand it.
It really sucks because that is the end of that week where you get the Thursday and the Friday off, where you check out on Wednesday afternoon. You know that that's the last piece of work you're doing that
right.
week. And then Thursday morning, you come in, and you can just kind of coast into the weekend. Now, you check out on that Friday morning. Which is fine. Take that Friday off. Or if you're at work, don't do any work. But then on Monday morning, that's a whole new week. So people, if you don't do any work on that Monday, your boss is going to be like, what the hell? This is a new week. We got to get shit done.
Right.
It really pushes a problem on you where you have to work while watching the games.
Yep.
As opposed to pretending to work.
It's also just change. Don't do change.
And what about the vasectomies? When are we going to do the vasectomies?
Someone's getting screwed out of their vasectomy.
Someone's going to get a vasectomy on that Thursday. Let us know if you've scheduled a vasectomy on that Thursday.
And now it gets four games.
You're going to go in, come back, and you're going to have like a bag of frozen peas on your nuts, and you're going to be watching like Murray State play against Creighton.
Yeah, and then Creighton's good this year.
Bad example.
And then Monday you're going to be back at work, and there's going to be games on. All right, my cool throne is the state of Michigan. Because the Barstool Sportsbook app is coming to the state of Michigan on Friday at 12 p.m. We will be live. The Barstool Sportsbook app, you can download it right now, actually. You can put in money right now. We're also matching. Penn is matching. If you deposit and play with what you deposit, they will match for the Barstool Fund in the state of Michigan. So we're going to help local businesses in the state of Michigan. And we'll be at Greektown watching the conference championship games on Sunday. You can watch us on a live stream and go download the app.
Very excited about that. Detroit's one of my favorite cities.
Mm-hmm. Even if you don't live in Michigan, it's nice to have the app. Like, I just use it to check lines and stuff.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. And play a game. What's the line?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How else are you going to play?
We're pretty good
it?
At that one.
Yeah.
Has the line moved in the Buffalo game?
It's 2.5 right now.
Let me see.
Which it's weird. I mean, I guess people think the Bills are good. Jake, do you have a hot seat?
They think Mahomes isn't playing.
Yeah. Hot seat is the Australian cricket team. Yep. India upset them. India had a bunch of injuries.
Isn't India a wagon?
Yeah, I wouldn't call that an upset. As a matter of fact, Jake, you've lost a lot of our Indian listeners by
Can I give the context?
Upset.
By the way, Duke is not ranked for the first time in like forever.
Neither is North Carolina.
You think Coach K's first time mention that? Coach K's gonna
India's cricket
something?
Team gutted by injuries and deflated by hearing racist abuse from the home crowd defeated a confident Australian team on its home turf. The win is being called one of the greatest in India's cricketing history.
Yep. Wow. All right. I said this was like such a Cinderella story for India to win this game.
Mm-hmm.
Very happy.
Can't wait
about
for
that.
The 30 for 30.
Yeah. How long did the game last?
I don't know.
6 days?
5 weeks.
Cool throne is Willy Wonka. They're making a prequel in 2023.
What?
Disavow.
Too much.
Trash.
You don't like They've it? Already redone
yeah.
it.
Yeah, the redo wasn't good. The OG
was scary.
One was
the
good.
Redo was
yes.
scary.
Yeah.
There's just no originality anymore. It's sad.
It is sad.
Like, let's just look at movies that made money. How can we squeeze more money out of it? Let's make a prequel that no one cares about. Like, mm-hmm. no one gives a fuck what Willy Wonka was doing. I don't know.
Just
don't
make
know.
Boner dogs. Make boner dogs.
I'm actually, like, how did he come up with that factory? And why wasn't he seen for a long time? It's not Charlie. It's Willy Wonka.
Yeah.
I'm kind of, how do you get all the fucking, what's it called? Oompa Loompas. Where'd those guys come from? I'm talking, I'm all in. Right. I'm in.
All right, cool.
Are these questions we don't want the answer to?
I don't
to?
Know. I'm once again asking you to stop remaking movies.
I don't, it's not a remake. It's a prequel.
Prequel. Is it gritty? If you just put the word gritty prequel in there, then I'm all in.
The more I'm thinking about it, some fucking random dude, single dude in his like 50s, owns a chocolate factory. He hasn't been seen for 20 years. He's got a bunch of Oompa Loompas going around in a chocolate river and all this scary shit. How the fuck did that happen?
I don't know. But if you get Joaquin Phoenix to play the role, I'm back in.
I'm in. Now that I've talked it through, I'm in on this movie because I have a lot of questions. All right. Let's get to our interview with Duncan Robinson. Great interview with Duncan Robinson. Always awesome to have a guest on who listens to the show, gets the show, and can also give shit to Billy back.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Okay, here he is, Duncan Robinson. Okay, we now welcome on a very special guest. It is Duncan Robinson from the Miami Heat. He has a new podcast. It is called The Long Shot. It is under the J.J. Redick 342 Productions. It's coming out. I think I don't know when we're going to put this out next week. So it already is out. You can download it. You can get it anywhere you can get podcasts. Duncan, thank you for joining us. We start anytime someone comes on and is like, I got a new podcast. Like, what's your problem, man? Are you trying to squeeze us out? What's going on here?
I don't think you need to worry about that. I think you guys have solidified your place within the market, but
Thank you.
So just trying to motivate, you know what I mean? Just provide some more competition. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, inspire you guys to stay on the top of your game, which you've been on for quite some time. So
thank
kudos to you for that.
No, yeah. We appreciate it. Hungry dogs run faster. So it's good to have somebody nipping at the old heels there. I saw you had a great game yesterday. Congratulations. Were you trying to impress us? You just doing that so that we would gas you up a little bit when you came on here?
That was in the back of my mind. I think it probably would have been more impressive if it was in a winning effort. But, nonetheless, you can only do what you can. So unfortunately, we weren't able to get it done.
Yeah, it's got to be so sweet to just catch fire and just know that, like, every time you shoot the ball, it's going to go in. Like that Steph Curry video that came out a couple weeks ago when he hit, was it like 103 threes in a row in practice. What's the most consecutive threes that you've made just in a gym by yourself?
I'd probably say, I think somewhere around the 60s. I think Steph was 105, which was incredibly impressive. I've never gotten on video like that. But yeah, I think I'm somewhere in the 60s.
God damn it.
You must feel like a superhero when you do that.
That's awesome. I so badly want to be able to shoot a three-pointer like that. Even like 10 in a row would be incredible.
Yeah, I mean, I feel that way towards dunking and being able to jump really high. So I feel you in that sort of emotion of want. But I can do the shooting thing, but the other areas I struggle.
It's a debate that we've had on the show before. What's sicker, being able to like throw down a sick dunk or just getting really hot from three?
In a pickup perspective. Like I've always thought, like, in a pickup perspective, when someone gets really hot from three and you're playing pickup basketball and they can basically end the game, it's the coolest thing. Whereas a dunk, guys dunk sometimes, but it's always like, all right, dude, you're kind of showing off in a pickup game.
See, I don't know. I think I'd push back on that. I feel like in a regular pickup setting, dunks would be just more impressive in that anyone can kind of get hot and you know, string together four or five makes from three in a row, but you're not like going through a lot of random courts and seeing guys just like flying through the air, dunking on people.
Yeah. I guess usually the dunks happen like on fast breaks when no one's around and they can like really line themselves up.
I think if it's a pickup game where there's another guy on the court that can also dunk, then it's cool to dunk. But if you're like the only one out there that has the ability, then it's a little bit of an asshole move.
Yes. Play below the rim.
That I understand.
All right. So people know, I think most people know your backstory, but let's go through it again just because it is incredible. You went to college, Williams College, which no one really knows of. It's a Division III. You were an athlete there. You transferred to Michigan. You played 3 years in Michigan, was in a national title in Division III and Division I, and then ended up in the NBA. Was there a moment in time where you're like, holy shit, this is actually happening? Like, I'm actually doing this? Because Williams College to the NBA, that's insane. I would imagine Williams College is not much different than a really good pickup game. No offense to Williams College, but offense.
It's better than a really good pickup game, I will say that. Small college basketball does not get the recognition that it probably deserves. But with that being said, there were various moments throughout the journey when I was like, I can't believe this is actually happening. But also, like, when I transferred to Michigan, I wasn't like some stud at Michigan either. I was very much a role player. I was on good teams, fortunate enough to be on some really good teams and win a lot. But, you know, it wasn't this like surefire thing that I was going to be an NBA player. So it's always kind of been this like incremental process of growth and realization that I might have a chance to be able to do something. So, just been able to take advantage of opportunities, basically.
Would you say that if other kids that were in Division III, let's say Williams specifically, let's just use Williams as an example, if they played sports at Williams, if they had any bit of like can-do attitude or like stick-to-itiveness, they too can be successful in life? Or do you think that maybe you're just the unicorn and you're different than everyone else?
Nah, I don't think I'm any sort of unicorn or different. I don't want to put a ceiling or a cap on anybody, but if you're at a place like Williams is a great school. So I wouldn't blame people for like leaning into the academic side of that, you know, and being successful in another world.
What if you're not very smart though?
Yeah. You're also stupid.
Yeah. You're dumb, but you play a sport at Williams. Would you recommend maybe if you have any eligibility left, maybe go into a big state school like Michigan to use up that 1 year athletically and maybe get some buzz going towards your athletic career?
Yeah. That probably seems like the right move. Honestly, at that point, if you're, you know, a Division III athlete and you're not very smart, I still think you're capable of doing anything if you put your mind to it. But that's you definitely got some things working against you at that point, for sure. Yeah.
It's interesting. On a real note, you mentioned how, you know, you weren't sure, or there were a lot of people out there who weren't sure that your game would translate from what it was in college as kind of a role player, like a catch and shoot guy, pretty much, into the NBA. But as you, I guess you had a, you had the Heat kind of take a chance on you. They believed in you a little bit. Was there a moment when you were practicing, or maybe it was, you know, like in the developmental league, where you realized, hey, I can do this. Like, this is an actual opportunity for me that I can succeed at.
Yeah, that, that probably came in summer league. You know, I referenced kind of my role at Michigan, and I think summer league allowed me to kind of be viewed in a little bit of a different light, and that I was asked to do a little bit more and given some more opportunity. So when I had a, I had a pretty good start to summer league, and at that point I was like, started thinking, you know, maybe I could maybe do this. And then I spent a year basically in the G League back and forth with the Heat. And then from there, it just kind of built, you know, over time.
I read that, that Spoelstra makes you run sprints if you pump fake in practice. Is that still true, to like encourage you to trust your shot and pull the trigger?
We're past that. Fortunately, that was early on, when I first got to training camp my first year, just because like I couldn't wrap my mind around this idea that like he wanted me to shoot every time I touched it. Basically, it was just like so strange to me that I was on the same team as like Dwayne Wade, who'd won like three NBA championships, but I'm the one, like the undrafted guy who averaged 8 points a game his senior year in college to shoot it every time. So there's definitely some, you know, push and pull with that. And then once I finally was able to kind of wrap my mind around that and just be like super aggressive, that's when it all kind of started to come together, I guess.
How much did you have to pay Jimmy Butler for the coffee?
I didn't pay Jimmy anything. I don't really drink coffee.
Oh,
I don't drink coffee, but truthfully, I wouldn't have paid him even if I did. I think that's an absolute scam of a deal. $20 for a cup of coffee.
But it was really good coffee, I heard.
Wait, did other people pay? Other people paid, right?
Other people did pay. You know, once again, that you heard it was really good coffee. I mean, who really knows? I mean, he's controlling the narrative with that type of stuff. You know, directing what comes out of Big Face Coffee. So I mean, I heard it was like pretty good relative to what we had to deal with, or what we are disposal in the bubble, but I don't think it was like anything above and beyond.
Well,
that's my interpretation of it.
If you just charge $20 for coffee, then people will assume that it's good.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where it's like psychologically controlling. It's expensive, therefore I'm enjoying it.
Right. And he has all like the different like maker. I don't even know how to make coffee really, but like he has all the different machines and devices to like, and has access to all the best beans, whatever you want to call it. So maybe it is really good. I wouldn't be able to tell. Like you could try McDonald's or Dunkin' Donuts coffee and they would taste the same to me. I'm just not a big coffee guy personally.
Well, I owe you an apology then, because when the story came out in the summer and we were talking about like who's actually buying this coffee, I pretty much was like, yeah, I mean, Duncan Robinson and Myers Leonard are on the team, like essentially calling you guys bitches. But I was like, yeah, they're definitely paying whatever Jimmy says the coffee price is. So my apology, you did not buy the coffee. Was there like that run? Obviously you guys came short, but the bubble run, like we talked to a few different people who were in the bubble over the last few months. Was it helpful for you guys to all be together all the time and like have that cohesive unit and get along with each other? Cause it seemed like you guys got along.
Yeah. We felt that it was a big competitive advantage for us. Mostly just because we really enjoyed being around each other. And I think that there are other teams around the league that maybe aren't that way. Mm-hmm. So for us, it was like an opportunity to use that as an advantage. And we also had guys that were like kind of willing to embrace what comes with basically being in like isolation for 100 days, and just being able to lock in and focus on the opportunity at hand. So I think it helped us for sure. But it's definitely a challenge. It certainly wasn't easy. I mean, 100 days without seeing your family, friends, or basically being able to leave the confines of Disney World is definitely a challenge.
Is there anything that you miss about the bubble?
I don't know about miss, but I did really enjoy, like, you know, professional basketball is very different than college basketball, and that like in college you do everything with your teammates and you live together, you like train, you study, like you do everything, you know, practice, games, travel, all that stuff. And professional is different in that, you know, guys show up and then when they leave, they go home to their families and they treat it very much like a job. So I like the bubble in that we ate all our meals together. We were always around each other and you got to know your teammates just on a different level, which I was appreciative of and really the beneficiary of, in that I had the opportunity to sit down with guys like Andre, Jimmy, and really get to like pick their brain on different things.
So is Jimmy Butler a good teammate?
Jimmy Butler's a great teammate. I don't understand the media twist on what he is. Not saying you guys.
No.
I'm sure you guys don't.
I think he's a top five player.
No, PFT has slandered Jimmy Butler.
I used to slander him, but Jimmy Butler, like, legitimately has become one of my favorite players in the entire NBA.
But he used to slander him a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I will say this. Like, I don't necessarily blame, like, the general public for developing those types of opinions, because that's what you hear from the media. Like, that's what gets pushed. You know, now that I've had the opportunity to kind of be in it and see what he's like on a day-to-day, like, he's a great teammate. He challenges people and he pushes people, and, you know, a lot of people aren't willing or wanting to maybe hear that. But in the reality, it's just trying to achieve, you know, success, to try to win and try to push you and try to get a better version of yourself. So he certainly had a huge impact on my career, and I'm thankful to have played with him.
Yeah,
so
I mean, it was really just the T-Wolves thing, because the Bulls, his exit from the Bulls was 100% blamed on the Bulls, and then the T-Wolves, you know, they didn't want to pay him a long-term deal, and that they separated. But it seems like I from the outside, I think most people now have kind of changed their perception, been like, he's clearly a good teammate. He's clearly a guy who, you know, the whole argument was, can you win a championship with him being like the best guy? You were pretty damn close. And obviously LeBron is an AD. It's very hard to beat them, but you guys were pretty close. Do you think was there any part of you that's like, if we didn't have a couple of those injuries, because like Dragic gets injured, Bam gets injured, do you think that series would have been maybe a little bit more competitive?
Yeah, obviously, you know, the competitive side of us, we really believe that. And we know that when we're at our best, we're capable of beating anybody. It's obviously not a perfect game, and it's not going to be a perfect situation or scenario. So, you know, you have guys go down like that. You don't want to make excuses or put asterisks on things, because that's just not how basketball works. You know, people deal with, or sports in general, you know, people deal with injuries and still find ways. So, certainly no excuses, but obviously we would have loved to have played that whole series with a full and healthy roster, and you know, see where the chips have fallen on that. It doesn't guarantee anything, but I think it certainly, we would have had a better chance at it for sure.
Yeah. Who has sicker tattoos, you or Tyler Hero?
I mean, that one's gotta go to Tyler. I don't have any tattoos, so I think by default he's got to take that.
Oh, I thought you had an arm tattoo. There's a if you look up a picture of yourself on Google Images, there's a picture of you with an arm tattoo.
Yeah, I don't spend too much time on Google Images of myself, but that may have been started in that there was some controversy or basically a story that had kind of been pushed from JJ Redick, actually, because, you know, he's got the sleeve and everything.
Yeah.
That I should get some tattoos to kind of raise my credibility and respect around the league, and that would help. So I've been thinking about it. You know, I don't know if you guys have any opinions on that. If you think I should,
yes,
make the
yes,
absolutely,
yes,
bring back barbed wire.
Yes,
barbed wire should. Is always a winning move.
Yes, absolutely, get it. It just makes you instantly, like, everything about your game will be better if you have a sleeve.
Yeah, I've thought that. I've also thought that, like, from a just a respect standpoint, mm-hmm. you know, like whether officials or the opposition. You know, I particularly, like, in the playoffs, I got, you know, targeted a lot on defense. I figured maybe that would happen a little bit less if I had some on me. So,
how much does that suck? Like, when you could tell the other team is essentially, their game plan is like, let's just do pick and rolls till Duncan Robinson is one on one with LeBron. Do you? What are you saying to yourself in those moments?
I mean, we put in schemes to, like, try to avoid that, not to get, like, too basketball. Like,
no, please do. No. Nerdy. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, there's obviously, like, defensive schemes on, like, shows and, like, you know, hard hedges and stuff like that to, like, just kind of put two on the ball for a second and have me rotate out so I'm not. You know, I pretty much switch in everybody with everybody in the league except, like, those guys, like, you know, LeBron's, which, honestly, like, I'm – just truthfully, like, I'm not built to guard those.
Yeah, that's not, like, a shameful thing to be like, hey, I can't guard LeBron James.
Yeah, there's like, it's – for a while there, it was hard, and it was kind of like a mental hurdle I had to get over. But then it was also like, you know what? It's not really personal. Like, of course, we're going to be better as a team if Jimmy or Bam is guarding LeBron instead of me. Like, that's just a fact. I don't think anyone would argue with that. So if we can figure out a way for me not to be on LeBron, then that would be very beneficial to us.
So knowing that, then was it hurtful to your feelings when Spo is like at the whiteboard and he's like the make sure that Duncan never gets left out on an island defense? Like, this is specifically, we're scheming everything up, doing film study for you. Did that hurt your feelings?
I mean, it's once again, like, it's all in the pursuit of winning, you know? Like, you can't get caught too much in your emotions and try to go down that path. Like, it's not personal. It's just about winning. And it also helps that I'm not the only one on our team that does it. Like, that makes me feel a little bit better that I'm not just, like, the odd guy out that just has to show on every ball screen. That there are, you know, it's LeBron. Like, there's other people that can't guard him, too. Like, I'm not the only one. So that feels better. But at the same time, like, it's just getting over the fact that, like, it's just about winning. Like, when you look at it like that, it's like, you know, some guys don't get asked to shoot threes, and I do. So that's not personal. It's just about winning.
Mm-hmm. Hey, it's PFT here talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike. If you want to join Buns of Anarchy, wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply. And now back to more Duncan Robinson. So your name is Duncan Robinson. How upset are your parents that you're not on the Spurs?
They're not upset at all. I think a lot of people miss this one, just basically in that, like, I was born pre Tim Duncan, Tim Duncan, David Robinson era. So that it just doesn't line up. But with that being said, it would make for a great story if I were to be on the Spurs.
Yeah.
But you know, it's just how it works out.
Just so you know, we're going to take that completely out of context, that quote that you just said. So Duncan Robinson demands trade to San Antonio.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely not demanding a trade anywhere. I'm very happy where I'm at.
How hated would you have been if you were a four-year starter at Duke? The answer is very hated, by the way. Just your face and your name.
Probably not up there with, like, the J.J. Redick and Grayson Allen, mostly just because I probably wouldn't have had, like, their statistical resume. Like, you got to remember, those guys are hated because of how great they were. Like, they were great college players. Yes, there were some other things tripping thrown in there.
Yeah.
Well, you know, whatever. So I think I would have been, like, a couple tiers below that. Maybe, like, a John Shire. I think he was kind of hated as well. Somewhere in that threshold.
He wasn't so much hated as he was, like, punchable. Like, you just wanted to hit him and bully him a little bit.
I get that a lot, though. I get the punchable face a lot. I don't know if you guys have any insight into this. What makes a face punchable? Because clearly mine seems to be to the general public.
It's long. You have a long face. Not, like, in a bad way. You're a good-looking dude. I can say that. We're pumping each other up in 2021. But I think there's, like, enough. Thanks. There's enough face there. You know what I mean? Like,
I think you've got a good haircut now, but I can tell that you used to not have a good haircut. Mm-hmm. So I would have liked to punch you, like, maybe 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm. There.
Yeah.
That's reason.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree with the long face. I get made fun of a lot because I have a big head. I think it's, like, low-hanging fruit of a joke, but if people want to make it, that's fine.
Yeah, no, again, you're a good-looking dude, but it's, like, whenever I think of punchable faces, people with tiny faces, you don't want to punch because you might miss.
Yeah, but isn't there also the downside of, like, a bigger head potentially, like, then hurting your hand more?
Yeah. True. Uh-huh. True. You got a lot of head. Yeah. You punch back.
Not always
with
bad
your skull.
Then. Yeah.
Right. Right.
So we're good friends with Mark Titus, and the story came out. I think he tweeted out in September that when you were at Michigan, you hit him up being like, hey, wondering if I can get some career advice because you thought that you didn't have a career in the NBA. So, one, I want to know, like, was that real? Were you actually like, this is over, I'm going to be a media person? And then two, I'm looking at the text right now. You text like a crazy person. What was the breakup in these texts? It was mid-sentence that you'd start a new text.
Yeah, so once again, I think that got taken out of context a little bit.
I mean, I'm reading that the text. That's the context.
Yeah, well, the first part of your statement, okay. The crazy part, that I'll address later.
Okay.
The first part, being in that it was actually for a class. We were supposed to, like, it was for a career planning class. So, you know, I was a sport management major, and we're in class and we have to reach out to somebody in our field who we, you know, feel that we might be interested in. So it's not like I could interview whatever JJ Redick, like that, it just wouldn't have flown. So I reached out to Mark just because I'd listened to some of his stuff and I had a mutual connection. But at that point, like, it was something that I was potentially interested in. At that point, I was definitely not like a surefire NBA player. But it was something to just kind of check the box and maybe have it in the back pocket. In terms of the text, I don't remember the exact formatting of the text. I certainly didn't think that it would be under like public scrutiny at mm-hmm. this point. Mm-hmm. I thought it was just kind of between us, but I understand that's how the world works, where just everything is open to the general public.
Media runs with everything.
Mark was
big
clout
media
chasing.
Like Mark Titus.
Yeah, he was clout chasing you. We can just say it right now. He was straight up clout chasing you, and it's fucked up what he did.
I don't think so, because Mark and I are legitimately friends. So with that being said, I don't mind. It's different if it was like some random person who was just kind of like being opportunistic in the moment and trying to go viral or whatever. But he was legitimately just posting, like him and I have constant communication now.
Yeah.
So it was fine for me.
I actually am realizing it right now. I put it together. So if you read it, if you look at the text, they're like broken up each in the middle of a sentence, a new paragraph. You know what it is? Titus was like the longest, oh, I'm an Android dude. I'm a fucking hipster. I'm not going to be an Apple guy. Like, I'm not going to let all you guys tell me what to buy. And he recently became an iPhone guy like 6 months ago. So I bet that's why the text come through like that. I figured it out.
No, I totally sent it as one.
Okay.
Big.
The formatting got screwed up on his Cricket Wireless pay-as-you-go special.
So not only is he a clout chaser, but he made you look bad. So he's really just a shithead.
I don't think so.
No, he's a good friend of ours, Duncan, so we can say
Let me ask you this. Would you ever take a screenshot of one of his text messages, like where maybe he came off a little bit thirsty, mm-hmm. and then publicize it on the internet and tell everybody about it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, we have different jobs. Like, he's in the media sphere, so people want to see, like, he's responsible for producing content. I'm responsible for playing basketball. So I think that's...
I like that. Put that on a quote board, Mark Titus. It's true. You're right. Yeah. He's one of us blog boys,
mm-hmm.
and you're out there actually making millions shooting hoops. His dream.
You're the man in the fucking arena.
I love it. Put a jersey on, Mark. Put a jersey on.
Mark wore a jersey. In fairness, he's a good college player.
Yeah. It was like a big ass baggy white T-shirt.
He made a complete joke of the competition, trying not to touch the ball. It's a farce. No, we actually do love Mark,
yeah,
so we
do.
Can say all this stuff. And you're allowed to call him a shithead, too, if you'd like to.
I'm good. Mark's a good guy. Okay. I'm a fan of him. He's had me on his show multiple times. Mm. I hope to have him on mine, so, you know, we're all good.
Mm-hmm. Okay. One of my fantasies is if I was ever that good at basketball and had, you know, a sick three-point shot, it would be to just roll up to some random pickup game or, like, an outside game dressed like a complete nerd and, like, sandbag the shit out of him. And then in the game, I just start making it rain on him and put up, like, 50, 60 points, like, nonstop. Nobody could guard me. Have you ever done that? Has the thought ever occurred to you? Like, that would be pretty cool if I could just show up to, like, Lifetime Fitness wearing, you know, the shortest bike shorts possible, like an old-school Looney Tunes T-shirt, and then just stay on the court for, like, 6 hours at a time.
You know, I've thought about doing that. The problem is that I'm like 6'7", 6'8". So any like random basketball game, like I'm by far still like the tallest player there. And I'm that alone separates me. You know what I mean? So it's hard for me to like totally lean into like the Billy Hoyle white men can't jump type of thing. Just because like if I was like 5'10" or 5'11", then it would be different because I would just kind of blend in. But I still stick out just in that regard.
Yeah. We were at the national championship game, Villanova, Michigan. How much did that suck?
Oh, that was tough, man.
It was.
That was
Villanova was.
There are not a lot of games that I have like deep-rooted regret about, but that is certainly one of them. I mean, I just laid an egg, and we laid an egg as a team. They were really good, obviously, and they played great, but that was tough.
I was going to say, you shouldn't regret that. That was – Villanova was just incredible.
That was the Dante like, game. Dante couldn't miss.
We were in the stadium, which is the worst stadium ever to watch a basketball game in San Antonio. Like, I don't know how they have Final Fours there, but it was – I mean, it wasn't your fault. It wasn't Michigan's fault. Villanova was a fucking wagon, and they just came out and blitzed you guys.
Yeah, no, they were tough, and they were playing really well at the right time. I more so for myself, like a personal standpoint of I just didn't play well that game. So, you know, your last college game, you want to just leave a little bit more of an impact. And we made a run in the second half. You probably don't remember this. Maybe we all thought it was more of a run than it actually was, to get it like right around like 11 or 12, where it's like, you know, if you make a run from there and you get it to like 5 or 6, then it kind of gets interesting. But we just weren't able to get it to that point.
No, we do remember because we all bet big on Villanova. So when you made a mini baby run, we were like, wait, is this? And they're like, nah, just kidding. This is the easiest bet ever.
So you had absolutely no faith is what I'm saying.
No, none. No, we were fucking high-fiving. Well,
heavily leveraged on Villanova.
When they started whapping threes like right from the get-go, we're like, this is awesome.
Well, I thought there'd at least be some Big Ten loyalty there now.
Yeah, I mean, if you guys had won, I would have just flipped it and been like, yeah, Big Ten. And I shouldn't have brought this up because now you can mention we're taping this right after Michigan had like, what was it, 46-3 run on Wisconsin? I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, that was I didn't get to watch because we played last night, but I watched the highlights, and man, Michigan looks tough right now.
Oh, actually, this is an appropriate question for that. So when you were a senior at Michigan, how old were you? Were you 23, 24?
I was 23 for the whole season, and then I turned 24 in April after the year.
Okay, so Wisconsin's very old team-wise. They have, like, a lot of older guys. Can you be too old in college? Like, is that a thing?
No, I don't think that's a thing. I think that it's really like the young teams early on that struggle. But like, you know, a team like Wisconsin, when you have that age and experience, particularly early on, is when you're going to be really good because you just have that as such an advantage. And then as teams grow and learn and start to figure things out over the year, I think that becomes less and less of an advantage. But I mean, Wisconsin's obviously tough. But Michigan just...
They're awesome.
Had it rolling last night.
Yeah, they're awesome. I do. I am going to use that, though, the too old in college line, and just be like,
well, joints are getting achy.
They're playing against 19-year-olds.
Getting arthritis.
A ton of, you know, bounce, and what are you going to do?
Have you ever thought about faking your birth certificate and saying that you're a couple years younger like they do in baseball sometimes?
You know, I think that would do wonders for my career. I think, unfortunately, now the kind of verdict is out that I'm 26 and in my third year, which is incredibly old. But if I could retroactively go back and make that happen, I think that would really be advantageous to my playing career.
Was that kind of strange getting to the NBA and you're a rookie? Yeah, but you're, you know, 3 years older, 4 years older than the other rookies that are there. Is there a big age gap at that point between someone who's 24 as a professional and someone who's 20?
The weirdest part of it was being a rookie at 24 and having like our leader or one of our leaders, Bam, being 22, and like me being one of the young guys, but being 24, and Bam being like our captain at 22. Like it was just kind of like demoralizing in that sense. But you also always have to have the perspective and like remind yourself of like, you know what, I'm just running my own race over here. You know, just like blinders on, just stay locked in.
Our intern Billy Football is like dying to talk to you. So I think you listened to the show, so I think you knew what we were talking about at the start of the show when we were talking about Williams. I think most people picked up on that. But Billy is essentially the Duncan Rob. It's like, remember those old commercials, like, this is your brain, this is your brain on drugs? It's like, this is your brain, yeah. Duncan Robinson whapping threes in the NBA. This is your brain on drugs. Billy Football sitting on a broken couch with us idiots as an intern. That's pretty much the difference. The two roads have divided. Williams College, what you could be, and
no,
what
wait,
if you just fail at everything,
no,
you'd
no,
end
no, no,
up.
No, no,
but that's
no.
Billy Football. I'm that's my introduction.
Winning at the highest level. Quickly.
Billy is winning at the highest level.
So, he's looking forward to a fight against Jose Canseco. Billy's dominating
you,
life
you
right now.
You did know we were talking about Billy, right? You did, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay.
I will say, though. I will say Billy's crush. I mean, he's an intern for the basically the biggest podcast in America. I don't know how you could be doing much better than that.
That's true.
Winning. He's
winning
at life.
He's winning at life.
Quick question, Duncan.
Do you know that you probably are the only person in history to lose in a D3 championship against Wisconsin-Whitewater, a D1 championship, and an NBA final?
Damn.
Wow, Billy. Brutal.
Probably the only person in history.
Billy. Brutal.
Is there a question?
No, yeah, that's
that wasn't Billy, a question.
That's no, I'm just it's kind of crazy, but it's just
that's
awesome.
Not a question though.
Okay,
that's not question. Awesome or a question. No, let him respond.
Why don't you be polite to our guest?
Respond, Duncan. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just confused as to how you would think that I wouldn't know that. Every single day of my life acknowledging the fact that I've made it to the championship at all three levels and lost.
Well,
and the
real question was
that's literally what keeps me going.
Yeah.
Which was the worst?
I would probably – I mean, it's really hard to – yeah, I will say like the Michigan one hurt, but as we alluded to earlier, like that game was pretty much over with 10 minutes to go. The Wisconsin one was we won, like we were going to win. 4 seconds on the clock, I miss a shot. Our big man tips it in. Like the game's over. Like we're gonna win. I'm thinking to myself, running back on defense, we just won a national championship, and the kid goes the length of the floor in 2 point whatever seconds and scores at the buzzer. So. That one, like just the change of emotions to lose in that way, that one was like crushing for sure.
So a lot of people are saying that, you know, Mike Mayer should have taken that shot at the
a
end
lot of, people,
of Wisconsin.
Yeah. Tons of
Whitewater.
People.
We
open every
debate.
Show by talking about yeah. it. It's and, an all-time what-if moment.
You know, a lot of people think that you may have not been able to, you know, do a D3, the rigors of a D3 schedule. Class. Athletics, it might have been a little too much, and that's why you had to go D1 with a lot more, you know, funding and stuff. But anyway, huge fan, and just wanted to know if you could retweet EF Sports because they always tweet about you, and they've just been trying to get your attention. But you know, if you could, thank you.
I got you, man. I'm not super active on Twitter, but I'll be sure to do that, man.
Dick,
I got
Dick
you.
Quinn is
great to meet you. Great to meet you. Brutal question.
Yeah, brutal questions. Absolutely. Just terrible questions. Here's my last question. We like to do this. So Duncan Robinson has a podcast. Everyone should listen to it. It's out now. It's called The Long Shot. It's under the JJ Redick 342 Productions. So we do the people also ask on Google. If you just type in your name, like what do they also ask? The top question is Duncan Robinson good? That's the question people are wondering. Care to discuss?
I think that's a fair question, you know, particularly with kind of the fact that I kind of came onto the scene last year. I think there's probably a lot of people out there that would argue that I'm not that good. But, you know, I'm more concerned with the people in my corner who do believe in me. And, you know, I try not to get too caught up in that sort of stuff. But it's certainly a fair question that I think warrants asking. Clearly, I mean, that's what the public want to know. So.
I think you're good. The actual, like, someone – it must be a blog or something, but they're like, Duncan Robinson is good. So
I'm looking at this one answer right here, and it said Duncan Robinson is a 6'8" flamethrower out of Michigan.
Whoa.
Are you a flamethrower? That's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, that's a title I haven't leaned into fully, but I'll take it.
I think that's a good idea for the tattoo. Get flames on your right arm.
Mm-hmm.
And then you hit a three.
You lose me there with the right arm, though. I'm not touching the right arm. The right arm needs to be preserved at all costs.
Strictly for the buckets. All right, well, the left arm, get flames on it. You hold up the left, and you do the number three when you hit a shot. You've got a bucket on your team, Tyler Hero, and you've got a flamethrower on the team. You can't beat that.
That could work. That could work.
Do you guys – my last question. I forgot to ask this. Do you guys play better in the city uniforms, do you think?
I would probably say no. I don't really think it makes a difference. My first year, though, there was a legitimate conspiracy that the city uniforms were like cursed or bad juju, whatever you want to call it. We could not win to the point where we called the league and changed like on a last second notice. They're like, we're not going to win these anymore.
So you just contradicted yourself, though, because when you're like, it doesn't matter – I think it does matter, and then you just prove that it does matter because you guys suck.
But it's 2 years ago. There's a new year. The energy has shifted. The city uniforms are no longer what they once were. They're different colors. Everything's changed. The court's changed with it. It's totally a different experience. You can't project that former experience onto these new jerseys, that'd be unfair.
Is it easier to shoot in an empty arena? Like, I know the bubble was different because it wasn't an arena, but what is it like shooting in an arena with no fans?
It's easier. If anything, I'd probably say it's harder. Not like ridiculously harder, but it's just strange. Like having such a giant arena, 18,000 person arena, and just have it be dead silent and empty is weird. So that's been an adjustment. The bubble was nice because we were shooting in empty arenas, but they were made to be empty arenas. You know, there's a tight backdrop. There were the fake fans and everything. So it didn't feel like you were in this giant place, but the empty arenas have definitely been an adjustment.
Mm-hmm. My last question is, how cool is Pat Riley? Mm.
So cool. He just brings it every time you see him. The slick back hair, just the aura, you know, it precedes him, and he lives up to it fully. Mm-hmm. So super fortunate to learn from him and just be in his organization, because he is truly the godfather.
He's just the coolest. Yeah. He's always been the coolest.
Yeah. Billy, you got one last question. Go ahead.
Sorry if I was coming off as a dick. I was texting of your former teammates, and they wanted me to bust your balls. So.
What? That's the excuse you're going with?
If you're going to be a dick, don't apologize for being a dick.
Just told me to ask those questions.
Own it. Own it.
I'm a dick, sorry.
Who are you texting with? Tell Duncan so he can at least...
Some of his former teammates.
Say their names.
I want your names, yeah.
I will not reveal my sources.
No, say one of their names. Come on, Billy.
Never mind.
No, come on.
I'm not going to expose them like that.
Do you still talk to... Are you still friends with those guys?
Well, I don't know what he's talking about. I'm still good friends with a handful of people from Williams, but that's why I'm very, very curious to see who he's talking about.
Okay, so one thing that you need to learn about Billy is he's also a liar.
No,
so he's
probably
not texting with anybody from Williams, and that's why he's saying I'm not going to give up my sources, because Billy would absolutely give up his sources in a heartbeat if he thought he was in trouble.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to end the interview, and he's going to tell you right after we end it. So, Duncan, thank you very much for joining us. Everyone go download The Long Shot. Best of luck in the podcast world. It's been fun. You also are now a recurring guest, so you have to come on anytime we ask, and also have to bring Jimmy Butler next time. But we appreciate it, man. It was good talking to you.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. Always been a big fan of the show, so an honor to be included.
Thank you. And now Billy, you can...
We'll cut this part, but go ahead. Tell him.
No, you're not going to cut it.
Yes, we are. Yes, we're going to cut it. Hank will cut it. Billy,
what do we got,
it.
Billy?
Billy, just tell him. No,
it was some guys who had been like, you know, freshmen, sophomores when you were a senior.
Just say their names.
Shout out.
You know,
I don't actually know. I never played with, but I know.
Billy oversold his connections to your teammates. Shocker. Duncan Robinson was brought to you by our great friends. Hey, it's PFT here talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
Okay, let's finish up. We got guys on chicks. Hank.
Couple FAQs as well. Little mix and mash. Smorgasbord.
Mix and mash.
Mm.
Here we go. Hey guys, my last semester of college started today, and I just wanted to say thanks for making the past 4+ years of my life a lot funnier. I don't really have a job lined up yet currently, and I don't really know what I want to do. I was wondering if you guys had any advice.
OnlyFans.
Hmm.
OnlyFans. OnlyFans is saturated with girls right now. That's what I read, that there are too many that have logged on, which is making it tough on the early adopters of it.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's probably still a market for dudes.
Yeah, OnlyFans or Twitch streamer. Right?
Yeah.
Just play. That also feels like
start playing more video games.
Crypto financier.
Or miner.
Crypto mining.
Yeah.
What do you have to do to get a crypto mine set up?
If you have to ask, you can't afford it.
Move to
/I don't understand it.
Move to Chile.
Yeah.
Do the boys ever miss blogging as much as the old days? Love the show.
Yeah. Yes, I do. I very much miss blogging.
A lot. Yeah. I used to blog, I mean, in the old days, it was my only job. We would blog 12 times a day. So being locked in on the internet like that was a lot of fun. I miss it a lot.
I very much miss the Monday morning bowel movement. I used to love writing that column, but I can't anymore because of time, obviously. But I think we both kind of feel that blogging things and being forced to write things makes you think about it more in a way that would prepare you to talk about it.
Absolutely.
So I miss doing that a lot. I think I'm going to get back into the blog game, though, once football season's over.
I am not going to make any...
There have been discussions.
Yeah, I'm not going to make any promises I can't keep, so I will not be getting back into the blog game.
I feel like it's something you have to be locked into. It's
correct.
Like, you have to really be like locked in, otherwise it's not... It's something you can just come and go and do.
That's the... That... When it... Like, back in the day, it was literally wake up, take Stella out, grab a cup of coffee, sit at my computer for 8 hours straight, and, like, read everything that comes across, every joke, every story, everything. Mm-hmm. And, like, when you would go away for 2 hours, you felt like you missed a year on the internet.
Yep.
The internet's a weird thing like that. If you like, don't look at the internet for 4 hours, you feel like you missed 10 years. But if you don't look at the internet for a week, you feel like you missed absolutely nothing.
How long do you think you could go right now without using the internet at all for anything?
The rest of my life.
No, I'm on vacation.
No Netflix.
Oh, no.
No scrolling on your phone.
None.
If I'm somewhere tropical.
Zero.
0 days.
Zero seconds.
Hours.
Seconds.
10 days. Seconds.
Ten days?
If I'm in, like,
vacation.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's
totally checked out.
My body is already trained.
You actually do that every time you go on vacation, and we need anything from you.
That's what you need to do when you're on vacation. You need to unwind.
Mm-hmm. My favorite part of when Hank goes on vacation is when we toss something into a show, and then, like, 6 days later, we'll hear Hank, we'll get a text being like, hey, just listen to the show.
Yeah.
I will not be vacation shamed. My husband is addicted to nicotine pouches. These small white nicotine vessels have become the bane of my existence. Not only is it incredibly unattractive to see the pouch bulging out of his mouth, but he has developed a concerning habit of leaving used pouches throughout our home.
Gross.
There is no rhyme or reason to where he places them. No room is safe. Oftentimes I find them unflushed in the toilet, littered across his bedside table, or in the side compartment of the car door. Even worse, our 7-month-old puppy and 16-month-old son have become obsessed with finding the aforementioned pouches and putting them in their mouths. If my son sees a container on the ground, he picks it up and hands it to his dad. At this point, he is enabling the addiction. How can I convince my husband to quit? I am begging you to read this on the show, as I know he'll be listening and he responds well to public shaming.
Okay, listen, dude, you're gross. Actually, dipping nicotine pouches, not tobacco, I'm not going to shame that. Leaving them out is a fucking psycho move. Leaving them out for your son is beyond psycho move. You're gross. Fix it. Just, dude, dip, like, responsibly. Don't do it in front of your kid. Don't leave it around your house. And also, for the wife, you should just start leaving your tampons everywhere and be like, oh, we're just leaving shit out, so here it is.
I think that's a fair compromise. It sounds like he's not doing the dip and the spit. It's just the white pouches. So it's really weird for him to just, like, take something out of his mouth and put it on a desk.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's a crazy
move.
The only thing crazier is leaving an unopened Mountain Dew, full Mountain Dew bottle.
That'd be disgusting.
With dip in it.
And that, if that's the case, leave his ass. But I have a suggestion. This might be a little too nuts. Just get a trash can. Just put trash cans in rooms.
Yeah, everywhere.
Just have them put...
Get the biggest trash can you can get.
Yeah.
That's my dream house, having, like, a dumpster in my kitchen.
No, here's what you do.
Then you never have to take out the trash.
Here's what you do.
Spot the problem.
Just put trash cans in every room and have the little basketball hoop above the trash cans.
Yes.
And then it's a game for him.
Yep.
And then every time he makes a shot, you'll have to, like, applaud for him and cheer.
Yep. Like, life is going well for me, but I do sometimes think about how sweet life was when I was in college and I just had two, like, outside garbage cans inside, because I only had to take out the trash once every 2 weeks, and that was incredible. Sometimes there was actually a phase there where we didn't even have trash bags, now that I'm thinking about it. That's really fucking gross.
I used to push mine on the porch, and we'd have a controlled burn. We got in trouble for
that.
Damn
it. Yeah. Those were the days.
Lately, immediately after my boyfriend comes, he starts humming the riff to Seven Nation Army by the White Stripes. I've asked him to stop, but he insists that it's instinctive, like a cat purring. How do I get him to stop?
Have him start doing it while you're fucking. That seems more like a during sex song than a post coitus hymn.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun. Is that the one?
Wait. Yeah. Dun, that's like a good stroke. Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, that's during.
Good rhythm.
That's not after.
Yeah, after you need to chill out.
That's
maybe.
Actually, it's foreplay. That's like a kickoff song. Like, right as, you know, Kirk Herbstreit and Chris Fowler, like, and we're live and, you know, Happy Valley. Dun, dun, dun,
yeah.
Dun, dun. Then you're like, let's get it going.
Yeah, that's what my concern is. Get them on something else for after. Get them on the Fox NFL injury music.
Yeah, eat her pussy and hum that. Guaranteed come.
Hey there, jumpsuit geniuses. My boyfriend got drunk on Saturday night and got his ears pierced by some girl at a party. He really likes them for some reason, and I'm not sure if I should give them some time to grow on me or if I should tell them to take them out.
What? Mm. Got it's drunk and piercing. Got...
It's weird.
I feel like that was... He had sex with that girl. Well, and then he was like, the best way to pretend that we didn't have sex is let me pierce your ear, because then that could be the story of how I know you.
What's more intimate? Having sex with somebody inside of them or having a girl put something inside of you? Mm. His ears got pegged by this girl.
Yes. That's weird. You got a weird boyfriend. No king shaming.
I've been at AWL since the Marlins Man Foul Ball Guy episode. Whatever happened to the Saturday Let's Get Weird podcast? What made you guys do it in the first place? People forget. I think we've told on this podcast, but that it was before we moved to New York. I was living at home, and Marlins Man was so upset after that podcast. I remember being on the speakerphone with my mom, like laughing, but he was like calling me, like threatened to like sue me and like do all, like he went, he was very upset over, yes, like initially after that episode came out.
Yes, yes.
I don't know why.
I don't know. Three times a week is a good amount of podcasts. I think doing the fourth, we're like, wait, what are we doing here? Also, we don't want to be that. There's some podcasts out there that like chop up their show 17 different ways so that they can say they're number one.
Yeah, and on Saturdays, the average listenership would go down, but total downloads would go up.
Right,
and we just,
and that's
rather
kind of like, what are we doing?
We just rather be like, every time we put out heat, a million people listen to it.
It goes platinum every time.
With no features.
Right.
That's exactly what we do on Mondays.
We're not trying to put out a bunch of fucking B-side singles and then like be like, oh, but it's actually 200 million. Mm-hmm. No. We put out platinum every time. Bangers. No matter what. That's just a fact.
Part of my take is number one.
You think? I mean, you know what, though? We don't brag because, you know what? When you get to a point where you just don't have to brag, because the people know. The real people know.
Get ahead, stay ahead.
Don't let everyone else try to tell you some other story. Just know what it is and how it's been for basically 5 years. That's our speech.
That's like Buffalo.
It feels good to say that every now
like
and then.
It's like Buffalo Wild Wings being like, we sell the most food in America because we sell 48 chicken wings to every single table.
It does feel good every now and then to just be like, guess what, guys? This is what actually is the reality.
All right. We'll end with this little fun little Billy anecdote. Over the summer, my boyfriend DM'd Billy asking to race, and Billy basically called him a scrawny bitch. Parentheses, which he is. Don't read this out loud. End parentheses. He hasn't listened to PMT since. How do I get him to start listening again?
Oh, no. Wait, Billy called him
Billy's
a scrawny
off.
Bitch?
Billy's off. Billy's off the show.
We kicked Billy off the show after realizing that he used profanity like that.
I was going to say,
DM people the same thing.
Really? I would love to see that. I was going to say something there that was actually going to cost us Billy, so I'm not going to say it. What I was going to say was, if Billy Football costs us one listener, then we will fire Billy Football. But then I'll get a bunch of tweets tomorrow being like, I haven't listened since Billy's on.
It's
so
like, well, how do you know?
I'm not going to do that.
No, because then people are telling on
themselves. Oh, true. Got him.
So let us know if you no longer listen because
of
Billy
Football.
Please.
Right. Okay. Perfect. Got him. Mousetrap. All right.
Nine.
I got to put some balls back in this thing, so someone do an animal fact.
18.
Okay, animal fact. Looking it up right now. Animal fact. Dogs left under the care of PFT Commenter put on 80 pounds of body weight per week.
Elephants can't jump, so this is how they navigate through terrain. Oh, that's a video.
PFT, why'd you shave today?
All right,
I think it's with your look.
No,
I think it's
it's a good,
I mean, I know.
No, it's a good question, and it's fair because I didn't mean to shave this much today.
I was gonna say
I got out of hand, so I was trying to trim myself up a little bit because the goatee at the bottom was a little long, the patches on the sides were a little wavy. Tried to shave it. It eventually just started to look like only the goatee by accident.
Goatee week.
And you're doing goatee week,
which
and so
I hate
so
now.
I didn't want to come into the office being like, look at me, I'm in goatee week too. But I didn't want to do that. So I'm like, fuck it, let's just go scorched earth. And now I look like I'm a 6-year-old.
Yeah, I mean, it would be the same if I shaved. Everyone would be like, why'd you shave?
Yeah.
So,
well, I mean, I think you're probably more well known for your facial hair than I am.
Yeah. Same. Yes, Hank too. Hank doesn't shave.
Yeah, when
Hank
shaves,
refuses to shave.
It is.
No.
It is a sight.
Should we do a shaved face
fuck
week?
No.
Like straight up shaved face.
Yeah, we should do Faceball Week.
We should. No. And just be like, these are the guys you actually are listening to.
Disavow.
Yeah, we're going to look so bad.
I just grew my beard out because I was like lazy. And then I shaved it. And then I shaved it thinking it was something I could like.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, I'll just shave my face. Yeah. And then people were like horrified.
Yeah.
And I realized I could never.
I threw up. It was like Teddy Bridgewater's knee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could never. I'm just a beard guy now.
Reports coming from Barstool HQ. Everyone keeps throwing up.
It was terrible. I walked in the office and it was, oh my God.
There's nothing
like,
worse
what?
Than changing your look in any way and having everyone just have a like a really, really strong reaction. Visceral, even if it's good, it's
and
still
like a
feels
nice
bad.
Way too, like why'd you shave the beard?
Remember
like,
when Chaps? I mean, I didn't even want to think about it. That was actually
on
like,
the eve of clinching a World Series, no less.
That was a horrifying, horrifying
yeah.
couple weeks.
You looked like an infected toe.
Oh my God. We might have to cut that part because people are going to listen to that and then remember what he looked like.
Don't remember that.
All right, here we go. Numbers.
8.
9.
100.
18.
The extinct Colossus six. Penguin stood as tall as LeBron James.
Actually. 99. Oh, man, if it's 100.
8.
59. Have we had 59 before?
London Fletcher.
Stand by. First timer. Rare. Okay.
Love you guys.
All right, see you guys Friday.
Coming for you anyway. Hey.